I am honored to welcome you to this important occasion on behalf of the President of the Republic. As stated before, this is the fifth Governors Forum. The history of establishment of the Governors Forum has been narrated to us by the very people who helped this country when it was still a sub-national entity, that is the UNDP. I happen to be lucky to be among those who establish it. This forum is a very important forum. Those governors who have attended it, I believe, benefited so much of the interaction, particularly from the interaction with the national government, the leaders of the country. I could still remember that one of them is still governor, and I think this is Governor Louis Lobong. I believe he has become a resource about the Governors Forum. There are others who are sitting among you who at that time were also governors. Vice President Haban, Right Honorable Speaker, all of them benefited from this forum. I hope our governors will also take the keen interest of benefiting from this forum. In the fifth, there has been other 8 Governors Forum when we were a sub-national entity. A lot is expected from this particular forum, this governance forum, because it is the first after a civil war. And it is also the first where we have multi-party governors and deputy governors. So the spectrum has changed from the previous governance forum. Therefore, it would be challenging. Views might not be the same, but since you have a guiding document, you have a guiding document which is a framework during this transition, and that is the agreement, revitalize agreement. And therefore, from this common perspective, our views should be harmonized. So this is important to underline, and I hope you will keep that. The implementation of agreement, the air access, has been slow. You know that even in your states, transitional state legislative assemblies have not yet started to function. This is because it was only the last 2 weeks that these state assemblies were cleared. We hope the remaining 2 states would be declared while we are in this governance forum. And I believe it is Unity State Assembly, the Western Bahar Ghazal State Assembly. Make use of this time so that by the time you go back, the world can know that the 10 state assemblies have been established. They are important in governance. It is not only the transitional national legislature that will help in the implementation of peace agreement. These state assemblies are very crucial. I'm not aware that any of them had been inaugurated. I hope after this governance forum, the governors will go and inaugurate their state assemblies. They would help you, and there are many functions they will do in making the peace agreement move forward smoothly. At the national level, as we heard from Right Honorable Speaker of the National Assembly, that they're just about to finalize composition of the select committees. This is important because some aspects of the implementation of the agreement are dependent on the work that will be done by the National Assembly and the Council of States. We recall the agreement is to be incorporated into a transitional constitution. Some of you as governors have been complaining that revitalized peace agreement has centralized the state rather than centralizing the state, rather than conforming what is in the transitional constitution. We want transit from centralized state to a federal state. However, for us to do this, we must incorporate the agreement into the transitional constitution. You are aware that the previous did incorporate agreement into the transitional constitution. Now it is Constitutional Amendment Act number 6. I would warn you as governors and also your government, when you go back, have a copy of the Constitutional Amendment Act number 6. After the agreement was incorporated, you know, three administrative areas, then there is an act, it is also called Constitutional Amendment Act number 7. Let's get a copy of it, because it is part of the Constitution. We are hoping that other constitutional amendment bills will go to Parliament once select committees are completed. Number 8, or the Constitutional Amendment Bill number 8 and number 9. I say them because once these are completed, definitely we'll go back to centralized system. Reason why the president appointed commissioners was because we did not have one tax. These are completed. For sure, the president will have to give back that power to the states, because we have another step to take from centralized system to a federal system. The agreement says we have to devolve powers and resources to the states and to the counties. We expect this forum, you also be discussing this. What are those powers that need to be devolved to the states and to the counties? You recall the statement made by Vice President Dr. Jim Iswani that the states have difficulty generating resources. Likewise, we'll go with the counties. Therefore, it is important for you as governors responsible in the states to start discussing this provision in the agreement, because it is your right to generate resources. It is your right to ensure that sufficient powers are devolved to the states and to the counties. We are trying to move even reforms that are mentioned in Chapter 1, the judicial reforms or other structures, committees have been formed. And I am hoping that you as state governments will also begin to think like how Central Equatoria began to be proactive in trying to review your constitutions, because each of the 10 states has a constitution. For it to conform, the transitional constitution amended that includes the acts I said. You should start thinking about this. This is when your power, which you had in the transitional constitution, will come back to you. I'm aware the state government of Central Equatoria has formed a committee to review the constitution with respect to constitutional amendment number 6 and 7. So I hope the other states will do likewise, like Central Equatoria. We have not yet finished information on some of the structures at the national level. We still have commissions, independent institutions to do, but we hope we will soon embark on this so that governance structures, as is stated in the agreement, are established. We expect also from you as state governors, hopefully the president will delegate you to form the local government councils, that is county councils, municipalities, soon. That governance, the local government is established, and then you now begin to administer our people. So this is an aspect which we expect you as state governors to take interest. Well, there are some other issues that will that are important. Security arrangements, which is the backbone of the agreement, are now facing some difficulties because of non-completion of the security arrangements. Recall the agreement said or divided the period, pre-transitional period and transitional period. First was 8 months, we didn't produce unified forces. Then we extended 6 months and extended again 100 days. We didn't. And we established the government on February 22nd, 2020. We have not yet produced unified forces. We're trying to double our efforts. See that phase one of unified forces are graduated. We still have obstacles in agreeing on unified command. IGAD came in, but Sudan went into crisis. We are trying to do it on our own, hopefully. And if we succeed, we will graduate the unified forces. However, we would want the transitional National Assembly, the revitalized one, to accelerate its work when the Minister of Institutional, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs tables before the Assembly security laws. These are important for the graduation of forces. At least those laws will have basis on which we unified. They're not difficult. They came from NCAC, the Council of Ministers. A few changes were made that brought about Amendment Bill number 8 and 9. So they could easily be passed, and then the process can go quickly. So, right, honorable speakers are here. We hope they will do their part on this. I want to make a statement on some of the issues made by some of the speakers and my colleagues. Priorities, besides service, that's health, education, our most important priority is what was said by Excellency Vice President Van Roots. Because even if we produce food, if we don't have roads, there will be no excess production areas. There will be no excess market areas. The roads are very important. Our dilemma is how fast can we construct roads? Because even if you want to dedicate, we gave ourselves a program of educating half of the population. You can't access them, not build the schools. You not build the hospitals or the clinics. You must access them. The cheaper way is roads. As governors, I know even with the difficulties you have, the national government will concentrate on national roads. They will expect you to concentrate in connecting your counties with feeder roads. Maybe the national government will help you in saying, well, for security reasons, we must do this X road. So roads are important. While you are struggling with how to give services to the population, deliver services to the population, think that the priorities of roads in your state. Like the next is still power generation. Some investors do not want to come to us because they don't want to struggle with how do they get power. And the world is moving away from thermal generation. It's moving to clean energy. So somewhere we must strike a balance. Some will tell us, don't build dams, produce hydropower. Yes, we have the highest intensity of heat in our country. Still, we have to use what the advanced world is trying to abandon so that we can catch up. Meanwhile, mixing them, thermal, clean energy together until we catch up. If we don't think seriously about power generation, we will lag behind. We will be the dumping ground of our neighbors. I believe we even don't produce toilet papers. At least, yes, we have done water bottling. We still import water in terms of beverages. Maybe we'll say, well, our population is not urban. Population is still rural. That is true. But when they come back from refuge and when the displaced go to their homes, they will say, well, we have seen amenities in towns, a rural setup. Would want them there. Yeah. So these are new challenges coming to us with peace. And therefore, we must wisely, with futuristic thinking, how to spend little resources we have. So I want you to take note of those. Agriculture is very important, very important. Although many people are beginning to shun working in agriculture, can't import maize from our neighbors when we can produce it in abundance. We have the flattest land, so we should produce for us to eat, then we think of export. The products that we can export support our one main generating revenue, which is oil. A lot. We produce garnets, we produce shea butter, we have sesame seeds, we produce maize, sorghum, honey. I'm told our honey is the best in the region and in the world. Japanese knows only our honey. They may not even know the country it comes from. They know this is good honey. It is all over. And it is money generating or hard currency generating commodity. We need to diversify our economy. And the burden lies on you, the governors. And you encourage your citizens. Our livestock is bigger than us, but three times. Our market is very expensive. Meat market is expensive because we import it, or because we tend to give overvalued price to our cows and goats. And therefore, others come and cut in into our market. Encourage our people to sell their cattle to our goods or livestock. Urban centers, they can't be rich in one day. You can't sell a cow with $500. When it comes from Uganda, it is less than that. We have a responsibility to ensure this, our people begin to be market-oriented. Well, this transition is supposed to end in elections. For us to go to have fair, free, transparent elections, you must have security forces. Who will protect the state, its people, and that will not interfere in the election process. And therefore, it is critical, if we are going to go for elections, we must complete in the shortest possible time the security arrangements. Some, I believe, why our refugees are not coming is because we have not moved forward the security arrangements. Once they know we have moved forward in the security arrangements, they will come. I'm aware those who are very close to us in Uganda, some come and cultivate and they go back. But this is a sign of preparing to relocate their kids. Once they feel they're secure, then they will come. We have over 1.1 refugees in Uganda, over 2 in Sudan, but 700,000 in Ethiopia, 400 in Kenya, and the rest in the neighboring countries in the diaspora. They definitely want to come back. They want to come back to a secure environment. They don't want to come back to an environment when they see they might run back for refuge. I said, by some of the speakers, some were born in refuge, grew up in refuge, came back, went back to refuge, and have children in refuge. Then they get confused. We want South Sudan to be a stable, peaceful country. We have all the roles to play, whether at the state level or at the local government level or at the national level. We must protect the peace. We must cherish it. You know? So some of the prerequisites for elections, one is the security arrangements completed. Two, the refugees come back. The displaced go back to their places. Three, you have to make census as a requirement of the agreement. Four, you must have a permanent constitution. Government, the president opened a workshop here in this hall where now we have a bill that has been passed, the constitutional process making. I believe the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs will table it before the national legislature so that the process of constitution can be started. It needs 21 months, according to experts. During the workshop, 21 months to complete it. So we are running against time. And with the commitment that we want to implement the agreement and get to elections, we should take the challenge. We should take the challenge and succeed to have a constitution. Last week, Council of Ministers passed a very critical bill, political parties bill, and we'll also go to Parliament. This is important. So that parties can register, parties can prepare themselves for the elections, build their structures, prepare for elections. So at your state level, the counties, we expect you to do your part. There are issues had mentioned by some of the speakers. Intercommunal violence happening in the states. It also happened around the capital. It is dragging us back. The political violence has come to an end, although we still have a pocket through Equatoria. But Rome Initiative is there, which we believe will bring in the whole art groups, the peace process. But the most devastating issue is now the intercommunal violence, cattle rustling, child abduction, woman abduction, destruction of villages. We hope you will discuss this. There's also the youth unrest, which is mentioned. The Council of Ministers had formed a committee. I happen to be the chair of it, deputized by two vice presidents with key ministers. We have sent messages to all the stakeholders, including governors. We should look at the youth unrest. In your states, some youth are resentful because they resent NGOs employing foreigners. But our law is clear. It says 80% of the employees would be South Sudanese. In the counties, it's being read wrongly. It started from Maban, it did not want others. It went wrong, Malut, Torit, Arab, until lately in Pibor, something that 80% national means 80% local. That is not the case. Where do we mix? It would be in employment, whether it is NGOs or it is UN agencies. I hope you will also, when you are presenting your policies and your statements, you will mention something about this, because we are writing a report. We have talked with most of the stakeholders, including the youth themselves, civil societies, NGOs, the donors, to give us their perspective on how to resolve this youth unrest. It's not only in the urban centers. Youth unrest is what creates intercommunal violence. In the rural setups is most devastating. So we hope in your presentation, when you talk about your government policy, peace implementation and service delivery, you handle, let us hear your voices. How do you want us to resolve it? We have humanitarian crisis. And some of the speakers said, if not seven of our states, severe flooding. It has created displacement. But even not displacement locally, it might even make an exodus to our neighbors, particularly in Upper Nile region, in Unity State, in Warab, northern Bahar Ghazal. It might take our civilians to the neighboring countries. We should take keen interest ensuring that they don't get displaced to a level they go to the national, to our neighbors. Because we don't know when the floods will recede. I understand the next 3 years, more rains will come. I am told the Bahar Ghazal River current is reversed. For those who know hydrology, the canal, the Bahar Ghazal River current has become strong. They have blocked the flow of Bahar Ghazal River, so it is flooding Unity backwards. So these are crises which we must handle with the insecurity together. And you are on the spot as governors, as commissioners. I don't want to consume most of the time. The governors forum, because of the success of the governors forum that time, it was seen important to establish speakers forum. It was another innovation. Now from governors forum, hopefully the Ministry of Presidential Affairs, the guidance of the president, will also initiate revival of the speakers forum. But if we find that difficult, we can combine them, because it's important the speakers in the states also interact with the national government. Understand some of the states have also started to revive the commissioners forum. This is very important, because what you get in the interaction at the governors forum should not end at the state level, should go to the lowest level, the third level. But the commissioners are the implementers. We encourage that. I had wanted to make my statement only 15 minutes. It has gone long. Well, with this short statement, I want to declare and launch this Face Governance Forum and declare it open. Thank you very much. Obviously, you will be with, we will be together next up to Friday. And you know that the Minister of Justice collected the yellow book. I hope the Minister of Justice will provide you the brown book, because it is important to have a reference of the Constitution. What has been distributed to you is the agreement. They should go together with the Constitution, the text, the acts, so that you make references. Thank you very much.